Lord, I pray that you would help me to not be distracted, Lord. Help me to be able to, that the Holy Spirit would come upon me at this time, Lord, and help me to say the things that you would have me to say. Father, I pray that you would just be with the next few moments, Lord, as we look at the lesson for this morning, as the sermon for this morning. Lord, I pray that we'd all be attentive. I pray that we would maybe take something from the sermon and apply it to our lives, that we'd be challenged, that we'd be encouraged, that we would leave here different, better than how we came. I love you, Father, in your precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, well, we're there in James chapter 4, and there's lots that can be said out of James chapter 4. One of these days we'll preach through the entire book of James and cover all those things in detail. This morning, I want to bring your attention to just a couple verses in the chapter and famous verses. If you look at verse number 13 of James chapter 4, the Bible says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain." Isn't that how we usually live our lives? We'll say, tomorrow I'm going to do this, and tomorrow I'm going to do that, and I'm going to accomplish this, and I'm going to accomplish that. Notice verse 14 though, he says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow." He says, you don't really know what's going to happen to you tomorrow. "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." And this morning I want to preach to you kind of a practical sermon on I want to teach you on the subject of living a productive life. Living a productive life. I know some of you like to take notes, and you should have in your bulletin there behind that course of the week. You have a place for sermon notes, so you're welcome to take notes during the preaching if you'd like. And you know, summer is practically over. I know that on the calendar we still have summer for a couple more weeks or whatever, but kids are back to school. Vacations are pretty much done. Everyone's kind of getting back into their normal routine of going to school, taking college classes, going to school, doing whatever it is that you're doing. And I want to teach you about taking the opportunity as you kind of get out of vacation mode, and hopefully some of you never get off vacation mode, you know, but as many of you are getting off of the vacation mode and kind of getting into the normal routines of day, routine of work and life and all those things, I want to just teach you what the Bible says and what the Bible teaches about this subject of being productive with your life. You know, God has given you the gift of life. And the Bible tells us that it is short. You're not on this earth for very long. And that's what we saw there in James 4. Look at verse 14 again. James chapter 4 and verse 14. He says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow." And he says, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor." You know, and the idea there, for those of you, you know, you may think of like you're cooking something, and you may have like a pot on the stove there, and you see that vapor coming off that hot stove there, and it just kind of appears for a little while, and it just kind of disappears. That's what God says our life is. He says, "For what is your vapor? For what is your life? It is even a vapor." Notice the last part of verse 14. "That appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." And the idea is this: your life is a very short life. And the question is, what are you doing with the time that God has given you? Are you being productive with the life that God has given you? Go to Psalms 39 in the Old Testament. If you open your Bible just right in the center of the Bible, you'll more than likely fall in the book of Psalms. Go to Psalm 39 and look at verse number 4. Psalm 39 and verse 4, the Bible talks in a lot of detail about this subject of your life being short and your life not being very long. And to us, life seems like it's just going to go on forever. But we all understand, you know, 100% of us are going to die. You know, our life is going to come to an end at some point. Are you there in Psalm 39? Look at verse 4. Psalm 39 and verse 4. The Bible says this: "Lord, make me to know mine end." The psalmist is saying, help me to understand that there is an end to my life. There is an end to the time that I have on this earth. He said, "Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days." He says, help me to measure the fact that my life is not just going to go on continually. I don't just have day after day and year after year and decade after decade. There's a point when this whole thing's going to kind of come to an end, and either it'll come for you personally at the time of death, or it'll come for all of us at the time of the tribulation and the rapture and all those things, the end of the world. But the Bible says, the psalmist says, "Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days. What is it that I may know how..." Notice the last part of that verse, verse 4, he says, "that I may know how frail I am." He said, help me to understand how frail my life is, how short it is, how it can end at any moment. Look at verse 5. "Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, The phrase handbreadth is the idea of a way you measure something. In the Bible, they would often measure things by handbreadth. And the idea is you would take your hand and that would be your handbreadth. And you would measure something. You know, you might say, it's five of my hands or the handbreadth. And what he's saying is that the way you would measure an object, he said, you can measure our life in time and realize that we have a frail life. He said, measure the days with what it is that I may know how frail I am. Verse 5, behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. Look at Psalm 90. You're there in Psalm 39. Just flip over a few pages to Psalm 90. Look at verse 10. Psalm 90 and verse 10. Psalm 90 and verse 10, the Bible says this. Psalm 90 and verse number 10, the Bible says, the days of our years are 70 years and 10. Now, a score is 20, so 70 years would be 60 years. He says, and 10, so he's saying, you know, we're going to live about 70 years. And if it be by reason of strength, they be 80 years. He says, you're going to live 70 years, 40 years. Yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is, notice, he said, you may live 70 years, you may live 80 years. Some of you eat real healthy and you exercise and you do all the things you're supposed to do. Maybe you'll live 90 years, maybe you'll live 100 years, maybe you'll live 105 years. But either way, it is, look at the last part of verse 10, Psalm 90 verse 10, it is soon cut off and we fly away. See, your life is a very short... Look at verse 12. Same psalm there. Psalm 90. Just skip down to verse 12. He says, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And the idea, the point I'm trying to make and drive home is this. Your life is very short. It may be 70 years. It may be 80 years. Maybe 90 years. Maybe 100 years. Either way, in the aspect of time and in the aspect of eternity, it is a vapor. It appears for a little time. It vanishes away. You have a short time on this earth. And God expects you to use your time wisely. God expects you to live a productive life. And I want you to understand this. I want to give you 3 points in regards to living a productive life. And there's a reason why I'm kind of dealing with this subject of our life being short. Because number one, for those of you taking notes, productive people live with a purpose. Productive people live with a purpose. So many of us, and I would say probably most of us in this room right now, just kind of live life, just day, you know, just going from day to day, don't really have a plan, don't really have a goal, don't really have a purpose, don't really have anything that we're trying to accomplish. We're just literally kind of just waiting to die. And the Bible says God does not want you to see your life that way. He wants you to see your life as an opportunity that is running out. It's a short amount of time. And He says He wants you to live with a purpose. Keep your finger there in Psalms, because we're going to come back to Psalms. But go to Philippians in the New Testament. Philippians chapter 3. This is a very well-known verse. Some of you already know where I'm going, but that's okay. Let's look at it together. Philippians chapter 3. And look at verse number 13. One of the most productive people in the Bible was a man by the name of the Apostle Paul. You'd be hard-pressed to find someone, you know, other than Lord Jesus Christ, who accomplished more with his life than the Apostle Paul. And I'm sure there are some people out there, but Paul did much for the work of the Lord. And I believe that Paul gives us an insight in one of his letters into what caused him to live such a productive life, to live a life that impacted so many people and made such a difference, that his life, when he came into this world, the world was a certain way, and when the Apostle Paul left this world, the world had dramatically changed because of the influence of this man's life. And in Philippians chapter 3, in verse 13, you find the Apostle Paul saying these words. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He says, look, none of us, he said, I haven't arrived. He said, none of us have arrived. He said, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. I want you to notice verse 14. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That word mark there, the idea there is of a target or something you're aiming at. Like if you would have a bow and an arrow and you'd be shooting at a mark or at a target. The Apostle Paul said, he said, there's lots of things I've done and lots of things I regret. He said, you know, I have to just forget some things and I'm pressing towards some other things. I'm reaching for some other things. But he said, this is how I live my life. Verse 14. He said, I'm pressing. He said, I press toward the mark. He said, I've got a goal. He said, I've got a purpose. He said, I've got something I'm trying to accomplish with my life. And you need to understand this. People who live productive lives live a life of purpose. And you know, this morning I'm not preaching on the subject of goals. That's something that I usually do close to the end of the year. I'll talk about goals and we'll go through a lot of Bible verses. And God wants you to set God good goals and godly goals. And I'm not talking about that this morning. But you know, I just want to ask you, what are you aiming at? What are you pressing towards in your life? You know, ask yourself the question, what are you pressing towards in your life? What is it that you're trying to accomplish? Hey, what are you pressing towards in your marriage? Are you just being married? Look, I don't want to just be married. You know what I mean? I want my wife and I to get to the place where our kids are grown and living somewhere else, praise God, you know? And for us to still like each other. For us to still enjoy each other. For us to still love each other. And so you understand, you say, well, I'm just kind of hoping that my marriage kind of works out. That's how 60% of marriages end in divorce today. Because people get married and then they just kind of say like, nope, now we're married. Look, what are you pressing towards? What is your goal? What are you trying to attend? I would encourage you. I'm excited about a series we're going to be starting this fall after on our anniversary Sunday. We're starting a series on the family. And we're going to be talking about, just principles from the Bible. And maybe you're struggling with your family. Maybe you're struggling with your marriage or your children or just relationships in general. I would encourage you to be with us for those few weeks as we study biblical principles in regards to the family. But the question I have for you is this. What are you pressing towards in your marriage? Did you keep your finger there in Psalms? Go back to Psalm. Go to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Let me ask you this. Even maybe more pressing than your marriage, because at least with your marriage you're both adults. What are you pressing towards with your children? You're raising children. God bless you with some kids. What are you trying to attain? What are you trying to accomplish? Are you there in Psalm 127? Look at verse 3. Psalm 127 verse 3. The Bible says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is His reward." You know that children are a blessing from God? God has blessed you with children. He says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward." But look at verse 4. Notice verse 4. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. The Bible tells us that you can think of a child that God has given you as an arrow in the hand of a mighty man. And the idea is this. A mighty man or a warrior or a soldier there would take his bow and he would take his arrow. And he doesn't just kind of haphazardly pick up that bow and haphazardly pick up that arrow and just kind of shoot at anything. The idea is that they would have a, like Paul said, a mark, a goal. I'm trying to hit something. And here's the goal. And you parents, you ought to ask yourself this question. If your child was an arrow, what are you aiming at? Because I'm afraid that most of our parenting is just kind of, you kind of see it like they're serving a jail sentence. You know what I mean? You give them a room and you give them clothing and you give them 3 meals a day. And as long as they are still alive at the age of 18, you consider yourself a successful parent. But I'm here to tell you, I don't consider that a successful parent. How would you measure success? That's what I meant. How would you measure success as a parent? My wife and I, just a few nights ago, I was thinking about the sermon and we were talking about how would we measure success as a parent. You know, the fact that my kids are still alive at 18 years old is not how we would measure success. And we talked about a few things. We said we want our kids to serve the Lord with their life. That's how I would measure success, if they served the Lord with their life. But you know what else? I would measure success. We would measure success like this. We want our adult children to still be friends with us. We don't want our, you know how many kids turn 18 years old and they just like, mom and dad this and mom and dad that, and they just don't want to be with their, here's how I measure success, to raise my children in such a way that when they don't have to, they still want to be with me. That when they don't have to, they still want to talk to us. They still want to spend time with us. You don't have to make that your goal. I'm just asking, do you have a goal? Are you trying to attain something with your life, with your marriage, with your children? Are you trying to hit a goal? We have the privilege of Verity Baptist Church to have many homeschool families, and I praise the Lord for it. I think homeschooling is great. My wife and I homeschool our children. And when I say my wife and I, she homeschools the children. I am just there, you know. But you know, we have a lot of homeschool parents, and I would ask you, homeschool moms, what are you pressing towards this school year with your kids? What are you trying to attain? Just so you can say they went to school? You know, you got to have a goal. You got to think, what am I trying to accomplish? Hey, kids, what are you trying to accomplish this year at school? You say, well, I just go to school. I'm forced to go to school. You know, you're going to look back on the time when you were in school and wish you would have, you know, given yourself to that time to be able to learn and understand. You know, here's what happens. We waste all our time in school playing around, messing around, you know, being, you know, just distracting. And then you become an adult and then you think, man, I really wish I would have been paying attention during algebra class. You know what I mean? I wish I would have been paying attention during English class. I wish I would, you know, and then you have to, you know, you're catching up as an adult, you know. Your kids, you think, why do my parents read so many books? They're always reading books. You know why they're reading books? Because they mess around during school. And we're just kind of trying to catch up, you know. But hey, you kids, you know, what are you trying to accomplish? Don't just go to school. Learn something. Accomplish something. Maybe you're in college. What are you trying to accomplish this semester? I'm just trying to say, what is it that you're trying to do with your life? What are you trying to accomplish with your finances? Maybe your finances are a mess right now, but don't let them be a mess this time next year. You understand what I'm saying? Have a goal. Have a plan. Have a mark. Have something. I'm trying to reach something. I'm trying to do something. Hey, what are you pricing towards in your spiritual life? How do you plan to grow spiritually? The question is, here's the point that I'm trying to make. People that are productive live their life with a purpose. Someone said this, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. Are you there in Psalms? Go to Proverbs 29. Look at verse 18. Proverbs 29. And some of you may be thinking, well, it seems like my marriage is going nowhere. It seems like my child is going nowhere. It seems like my finances is going nowhere. It seems like I'm just not doing anything. And it's like, well, what are you aiming at? Are you there in Proverbs 29? Look at verse 18. Proverbs 29:18 says this, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You gotta get a vision for your kids. You gotta get a vision for your marriage. You gotta get a vision. You know, you say, I'm starting a business. Get a vision for that thing. Get a vision for whatever it is that you're doing. Maybe you're working a job. Hey, get a vision for, here's what I want to accomplish in the next year, or 2 years, or 5 years. Here's where I want to be in the next 5 years. I've got a mark. I've got something I'm heading at. I've got a purpose for life. I've got a reason to get up in the morning. Productive people live with a purpose. Number two, productive people live with priorities. Productive people live with priorities. You say, what's a priority? A priority is something that is more important than something else. Something that needs to be done before or dealt with before you deal with other things. Something that needs to be done first. The Bible teaches the concept of having some things be more important than other things. Let me just give you a few examples. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. In your New Testament, Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 18. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. You see, we got to get out of this excuse-making, this, you know, mentality that I'm a victim. People say, well, the reason I'm at the place in life that I am is because the family I was born into, or the color of my skin, or the society I lived in. Look, all those things may be true, but what are you going to do? Just cry about it all the rest of your life and do nothing? At some point, you got to get up and realize, hey, I need to do something with my life. Maybe I was dealt the wrong hand, but am I just going to sit here and cry about it all day long? Maybe I've already made mistakes with my kids, but you're just going to cry about it? Hey, why don't you decide, I'm going to set a goal, I'm going to set a mark, I'm going to change something, I'm going to do something different, because in order to accomplish something, hey, you got to get moving. You need purpose, number two. You need priorities. Are you there in Colossians 1? Look at verse 18. Colossians 1:18 says, and he, the he there is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can look at in the context later on if you'd like. It says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Now notice this, here's priorities in the Bible. That in all things, you see that word all there? All, I know this is deep, okay? This is why you come to Very Baptist Church, you get these deep theological sermons. That word all, you know what it means in the Greek? It means all. That in all things he might have the preeminence. You know what that means? You know what preeminence means? It means he comes first. In what? In all things. In my schedule? In all things. In my marriage? In all things. With my children? In all things. In everything. That is a priority. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. First book of the New Testament. Should be fairly easy to find. Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse 33. Matthew, I'm just giving you examples of priorities. Productive people not only live with a purpose, productive people live with priorities. Productive people have things in their life that are more important than other things. They have things in their life that will come before other things. They do things in their lives that they will do before they do other things. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, the Bible teaches, I'm just giving you an example of priorities in the Scripture. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, the Bible says this, but seek ye, here's a priority, first. You see that? Is it second? Is it third? No, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and here's priorities, and all these things shall be added unto you. What's, and now if you look at the context is food, clothing, you know, the things of this world. So what are the priorities? You first seek the kingdom of God, and then everything else will come in its place. That's a priority. The Bible teaches the subject of priorities. You know, let me just give you this, and you can write it down or do what you want with it, but a Christian's priorities should always be this: God first, family second, career third. That ought to be your priority. You say, yeah, I should put God before my family. You can't have a good family without putting God first. You understand that? You must keep God first in order to keep everything else in its proper place. A Christian's priority should always be God first, family second, career third. Here's how most people live their lives. Career first, family second, God third. If God even makes it to the list. You know, live your life with priorities. And you got to plan your life out. You know, time management experts say that 1 minute of planning will save 10 minutes in execution. And if you plan out your days, if you plan out your time, let me give you some kind of practical things. Go to Ephesians. You're in Matthew, right? Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Let me just... These are well-known verses. I know this is not... From time to time, you know, we preach all sorts of different type of sermons at Verity Baptist Church. Sometimes you get a real doctrinal sermon about why we believe something. Sometimes you'll get a narrative sermon. Like last week, we just went through a story and applied some truth to our life. So today's more of a productive, practical type sermon. Ephesians 5, look at verse 15. Are you there in Ephesians 5? Look at verse 15. Ephesians 5 and verse 15. Ephesians 5:15, the Bible says this: see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. The Bible, that phrase there, redeeming the time, gives us the idea that time has value, and we ought to redeem it. It's the idea of purchasing, not wasting it. But here's how you redeem the time. Verse 16 comes after, obviously, verse 15. So we redeem the time in verse 16 by what we do in verse 15. What do we do in verse 15? Notice, see then that ye walk circumspectly. The word circumspect or circumspectly, the idea there is of thinking carefully before you do something. The idea would be like if you were walking through, if there was a the floor had like glass in it and you were walking barefoot, you would walk very circumspectly through that floor to make sure you don't hurt yourself. You're thinking about every step and everything you're going to do, every action you're going to take. God says that we ought to walk circumspectly. We ought to take thought about the next thing I'm going to do and the next step that I'm going to take and how I'm going to do this and how I'm going to do that. And if you walk circumspectly, then you will redeem the time. You won't waste your time. I'm a big believer in a to-do list. I would say to you, you know, you gotta live your life off of a to-do list. You gotta do a to-do list. Now maybe you're thinking, well, Pastor, I go to work and I just kind of clock in and they tell me what to do and then I clock out. That's fine, I get that. But you gotta have a to-do list for your personal life. But those of you that run businesses, or like you homeschool moms, that you're kind of at home and you're running like three or four businesses, you know, you're teaching kids, you're a caterer, you're a chauffeur, you're doing all sorts of things, you know. Yeah, you live your life off of a to-do list, you know. In my life, I run off a to-do list. And here's what I would advise you or challenge you, you know, go to the 99-cent store and get yourself a 99-cent notebook. I have a notebook that I carry around with me everywhere I go. You know, I don't bring it up to the pulpit, but all week long I've got this notebook, and I love this notebook because it's so cheap. It's not a planner. It's a 99-cent notebook, and I can just, you know, write things in there, things out. Everything that I need to remember is in this notebook, you know. So there's not much, but, you know, it helps me. And you ask me to pray for you, I write it in that notebook. You ask me to, you know, remember something, and I still don't, you know, I don't do everything that I'm supposed to do. But get yourself a notebook and write. Maybe you don't know how to write a to-do list. Let me just give you some practice. This is how I write a to-do list. I didn't come up with this system. You know, people teach this and books. The stuff I'm teaching right now, some people actually pay to read books to learn this, okay? You're getting it for free, okay? So here's how you do a to-do list, okay? You run your own business, or you just want to be more productive in life. Here's what you do. The night before, So tonight, you would write your to-do list for Monday morning, okay? The night before, you just take a piece of paper out and you write down everything you need to do. No particular order, not in order of importance, just what do I need to do tomorrow? And these are tasks that are important, okay? Don't put on there, update Facebook, okay? Nobody cares about that, you know? Watch TV for 6 hours. That's your problem. You know, roll out of bed at noon. Okay, that's not good, all right? But write down everything you need to accomplish. Just sit down and write everything you think of. Tomorrow, I got to do this. I got to do that. Sometimes what I'll do is I'll write down everything I need to do in 1 week. And then I'll kind of separate that into different days. But write down everything you need to do the night before. And then prioritize your task by order of importance. Once you've written everything, you say, this is everything that I can do, that I need to do on Monday. Then what I will do is once I have that list, all the things I need to do, then I will go through and I will look at what is the most important thing. That if I only get this done, my day will have been a success. And I'll write an A next to that. So for me, Bible reading, I put an A right next to that because I need to read my Bible first thing. You know, prayer time, A. Reviewing my memory verses, A. You know, tomorrow morning I'll begin to write and work on my Wednesday night Bible study. I'll put a B next to that. And whatever it is that you got to do, go to the bank, you know, whatever it is, your task that you have, write in order of importance, A, B, C, what needs to be done. And then even in those categories, you might find, and you'll say, well, I've got three things here that are an A. Well, put an A next to all those things, but then tell yourself, I'm going to do them in this order. And write a 1 next to the first A, and a 2 next to the second A, and a 3 next to the third A, and then maybe a 1 next to the first B, and a 2 next to the second B. And organize your day and get a plan of this is what I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to accomplish. And then once you have a letter of priority next to everything, and a number of priority next to everything, then write it out in the order that you're going to accomplish. You say, well, how many minutes? This is going to take me 10 minutes, but it's going to save you a whole lot of time. If you get up in the morning and you already know this is what I must accomplish. You know why most people don't accomplish anything in their lives? It's because they kind of just get up in the morning, kind of just turn on the TV, kind of just turn on the radio, kind of just do this for a little bit, kind of just do that for a little bit, and then, you know, at 9 p.m. you're like, I was supposed to go fill out an application for a job. And then you're wondering why you've been unemployed for the last 6 years, you know? Is get yourself a plan of what to do. How are you going to accomplish your day? And then once you have that list, discipline yourself to finish one task at a time. We live in a society where we glorify multitasking. Let me tell you something. Multitasking is worthless. I'm going to write an essay for school while watching a movie. Yeah, right. That's why you're failing. Discipline yourself to finish one task at a time. No multitasking. From beginning to end. Discipline yourself to work through your list and to get it all done. And do not allow yourself to give in to time wasters. Now, let me tell some of you this. Let me explain to you why to-do lists are so much better than schedules. Okay? And I know some of you, can't control your schedule. That's fine. I'm talking to those of you that can. I used to live my life off of a schedule. And some of you, maybe you had a little schedule for yourself. At this time, I'm going to do this, or at this time. Here's the problem with schedules, okay? When your life gets interrupted and it throws you off that schedule, it messes you up, you know? And you get all mad and angry. You know, schedules, if you're, I'm supposed to get up at 5:30 a.m., and by 6 a.m., I'm supposed to be exercising, and at 6:45, I'm done exercising, and I'm going to be drinking my protein shake, you know what I mean? Like, and then, but then you didn't wake up at the time you're supposed to, and now your whole day's messed up. Here's what I love about a to-do list. It doesn't tell you when you're going to do something. It just tells you what you're going to do first. Do you understand that? Because life gets interrupted. You know, I'm constantly, you know, as a pastor, I get phone calls all the time. And I'm not complaining. I'm thankful that people would want to call me or ask me questions or things like that. I just have to realize that that's part of being a pastor. I get phone calls. A couple weeks ago, I was on the phone late at night talking to somebody, just kind of dealing with some things that they were going through in life. And I could hear my son talking to my wife, and he says to my wife, why do so many people call daddy? And my wife says, well, because he's a pastor, and you know, sometimes people have problems and they need to talk to the pastor. And he says, why do so many people have problems? You know, and I'm like, I was wondering the same thing, you know. I don't know, but you know, the point is this: life gets interrupted. You know what I mean? And here's what I love about to-do lists. Sometimes a crisis shows up, and you kind of have to deal with that. But then as soon as that's done, you just go back to your next task. And you live productive. And you don't get everything done on your to-do list that you need to get done, but you'll do more with a plan. You'll do more with a purpose. So, you know, if it helps you, develop a to-do list. But let me say this, okay?
we should all have a not to-do list. And that may be figurative or maybe literally, you'll write a not to-do list, but you ought to have a not to-do list. You know, priorities need to get done.
Someone said this, the key is not to prioritize what's on your schedule, but to schedule your priorities. And priorities need to get done. But sometimes, you gotta understand this, and this is kind of
a key to not wasting your time. Sometimes in order to get the most important things done, you must prioritize what will not get done. You understand that? At some point you have to come to the point in life where you realize, I'm not gonna be able to get everything done that I'd like to get done. And there are some things that I'm going to have to say I'm not going to get done. Someone said this, nothing is less productive than to make more efficient what should not be done at all. That's a good quote. Nothing is less productive than to make more efficient what should not be done at all. Let me give you an example. My wife and I, for a long time, we were, I don't want to say frustrated, but a conversation that we would have often is, you know, we wanted to be one of these families. You know these families. You may be one of these families. You know the family that like goes to like the farmers markets. You know what I'm talking about? We want to be that family. You know, I want to get like a straw hat and, you know, like overalls or something, or coveralls or something like that, and just kind of as a family go to these, you know, and buy organic and buy fresh and buy local. We want to be that fresh, you know, that the family that goes. We thought that was so cool, and we looked into it. We're like, hey, we should go to a farmer's market. And here's what we found out. All farmers markets are either during the week at a time when we're at work or school, you know, or my wife's school, doing school, or they're on Saturday morning. You know, you say, well, why don't you go on Saturday morning? Well, here's the problem. We're soul winners. We decided a long time ago, Saturday morning, that's soul winning time. Our whole family goes soul winning every Saturday morning. Just yesterday, Lydia, who's 2.5 weeks old, was out soul winning for the first time. Because, and here's the thing. We had to prioritize and we had to decide, you know, I am a soul winner more than I want to go to a farmer's market. Is there anything wrong going to a farmer's market? Absolutely not. Is it a sin? No, I'd like to go. But I can't. And here's the point. So we just decided at this point, at this season in our lives, we don't go to farmer's markets. We just have to buy from Bel Air. You know what I mean? We just have to get food that's, fruit and vegetables that are cold. You know, maybe one day when we're retired, then we'll be able to go to the ones during the week. But at this point, here's what I'm trying to say, is you can't, and maybe that's a silly illustration, but the point is this. Some of you moms need to realize that you're not going to be able to be the friend that you used to be before you had kids. You understand that? See, sometimes you just have to realize that you're not be able to do the things that maybe you used to do. Life changes, priorities change. And sometimes you just have to come to the place where you realize, this is not something I can do. Have priorities, but always put God first. Have a not-to-do list. Productive people live with a purpose. Productive people live with priorities. Number three, and this is the last point for this morning. Productive people live with patterns. Productive people live with patterns. The best way to be effective is to develop routines in your life. The best way to be effective is to develop routines in your life. You know, sometimes people say to me, Pastor, I want to learn the Bible better. I want to have more Bible knowledge. You know that you will learn the Bible better reading 20 minutes a day, every day, than just kind of haphazardly scattered, you know, well, I read 3 hours. Yeah, but you did that once in 3 months. You see what I'm saying? You accomplish more by just doing something and developing a routine and developing a habit and developing a pattern every day. You will be, you will pray more if you pattern yourself to pray daily every day. You will lose more weight. You say, I'm gonna go on this diet where I'm just not gonna eat for the next 6 weeks. You know that you will actually lose more weight if you just moderate your eating and exercise every day and change your lifestyle. It's a proven fact. You will be a better parent if you just discipline your children every day than if you just kind of go crazy for a day and, you know, banish them to their room for 6 years and it's just not going to work. People that produce and are productive live their lives in a routine. They live their lives in a pattern. Go to Luke chapter 4. Let me show you. The Lord Jesus Christ lived in routines or patterns. Luke chapter 4. Look at verse 16. I don't know where you're at. I think you're in Matthew or something. Luke chapter 4, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 4, and look at verse number 16. Luke chapter 4, and verse number 16. The Bible says, Luke 4:16, and he came to Nazareth,
we had been brought up, this is Lord Jesus Christ, and
notice this phrase, as his custom was. The word custom means this was his manner, or this was his pattern. This was something that he did on a regular basis. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for it to read. This was something that Jesus did on a regular basis. It was his custom. He regularly went to the synagogue and read the Word of God. Go to Acts 17. You're there in Luke? Now, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts 17. And look at verse number 2. Remember, we're talking about the Apostle Paul? We're talking about the fact that the Apostle Paul was one of the most productive men that ever lived? Well, notice something else about the Apostle Paul. Not only did he have a mark that he set, that he was guided towards, Acts 17 and verse 2 says this about the Apostle Paul. Acts 17 and verse 2 says, and Paul, notice this phrase, as his manner was. What was his manner? Went unto them, and three Sabbaths day reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. It's not something he did on a special day. This is something he did all the time. It was his manner. It was his routine. It was his pattern. Go to Acts chapter 20. Look at verse 18. Let me show you another example of the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 20, verse number 18. Acts chapter 20, verse 18. Acts 20 and verse 18. The Bible says, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia after, notice, what manner I have been with you at all seasons. He says, look, it doesn't matter what season it was. You know what manner. You know what custom. You know what pattern it was. He said, it doesn't matter if it was football season. It doesn't matter if it was baseball season. It doesn't matter what season it was. He said, you know the manner and the routine. You say, why did the Apostle Paul accomplish so much in his life? Because he had a routine. Because he had a pattern. Because he had a habit. He had some things that he did all the time, every day. He was consistent. How did the Lord Jesus Christ, who we know was God in the flesh, but his ministry was 3.5 years. And in 3.5 years, I mean, more so than the Apostle Paul, literally changed this world. In 3.5 years, how do you do it? Because he had a pattern. Because he had a goal. You ask Jesus, what's your goal? To seek and to save that which was lost. Because he lived a productive life. You say, I want to be productive. Here's how productive people live their lives. Productive people live with a purpose. You have a purpose? You have something you're trying to accomplish with your children, with your marriage, with your career, with your finances, with school. I don't know what it is, but do you have something you're trying to accomplish with your life? Do you have priorities? Do you have a plan? Are you able to understand that I'm not able to do everything? And maybe this is a good thing, but it's not the best thing for me to do right now. And live your life with that priorities. Have a to-do list and have a not-to-do list. Do you live your life with patterns? You gotta develop patterns. You know, you want to know who are the people who probably live the most consistent lives? I'll tell you right now, the people that live the most consistent lives, the people that have the most strength in their marriages, the people that probably raise the best kids, as far as Christians go, are people that have developed the habit to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. People who have their lives falling apart, have their life falling apart because their schedules are falling apart. Because they're just scattered. Because they don't have any priorities. Because they don't have any pattern. There's no routine to their life. If you have a routine to how you deal with your finances, you'll get ahead financially. You have a routine to how you deal with your children, you'll do great with your kids. But if you're just kind of scattered and just kind of wandering and just kind of living, you'll get to the end of your life and you'll say, what have I done with my life? Productive people live with patterns. Productive people live with priorities. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're done right here. This is the last passage we'll look at. We've been talking about the Apostle Paul a lot. We started talking about the Apostle Paul. Remember, he set that mark. He had that purpose. He said, I press toward the mark. He said, I'm trying to accomplish. See, Paul did not just go into the ministry and said, well, I'm kind of going to be a missionary, and I'm just kind of going to get support, and I'm going to go over there, and we'll see what happens. He said, I've got something I'm trying to accomplish. I've got somewhere I'm trying to go. I've got something I'm trying to do. And that's how you ought to live your life, and that's how I should live my life. And he had priorities, and he had patterns. And let me show you what it resulted in the life of the Apostle Paul. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, we find the Apostle Paul kind of penning his last words, his goodbyes to his good friend Timothy. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, here's what Paul said. He said, for I am now ready to be offered. He's talking about his death. And the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I'm getting ready to depart. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Notice what Paul said to Timothy in verse 7. He says, I have fought a good fight. And notice what he says. He says, I have finished my course. He said, I've kept the faith. You know, Paul ended his life
feeling accomplished.
I'm sure there were still things on his to-do list. I'm sure there were still things he wanted to do. To the Romans, he said that he wanted to go to Spain. And I don't know that we don't really have a record that he ever made it there. And that, you know, I'm sure there was things that he would have liked to have done. But when he got to the end of his life, he was able to say, you know what? I finished my course. I've done what God wanted me to do. I've been productive in my life. You say, how did Paul get there? He lived with purpose. He lived with priorities, I'm sure. And he lived a life of routine. A life of patterns. Here's a question. At some point, you will get to the end of your life. At some point, your children will no longer be living with you. Do you understand that you don't have your children for that long? I know it seems like a long time, and you know, you got these kids running around, and you're like, oh, I wish it would end, you know. But we don't have them for that long. We don't have the opportunities that God has given us. You don't have your health. You don't have your strength. You don't have the abilities. You don't have your life for very long. And you are going to get to the end of your life. And here's a question I have for you. Do you want to get to the end of your life saying, I wish I had done more. I wish I had done better with my marriage. I wish I had done better with my kids. I wish I had done more for God. Or do you want to get to the end of your life like the Apostle Paul and say, you know what, there was mistakes I made, and there was things I could have done better, and there's things that I still want to do, but for the most part, I have finished my course. I don't know about you, but that's how I want to end. What do you call that? A productive life. A productive life. Maybe there's something in this lesson that you can apply to your life. Maybe you need to get some purpose to your life. Maybe you can set some priorities better in your life. Maybe you need to just work on developing some good habits and some good patterns and some good routines to be able to be productive. But we all should have the goal of getting to the end of our lives and say, I have finished my course. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you for our church. And Lord, I know this morning's sermon was just a very practical type sermon. Practical lessons for just living a productive life. But Father, I pray that you would please help us to be able to maybe apply some of these things in our lives. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to learn how to just be more productive, to redeem the time better, to walk circumspectly. Lord, to value the time that you've given me, the opportunities that you've given me, the relationships that you've given me. Help me, Lord, to be able to get to the end of my life and say I finished my course. Lord, I pray that you'd help our people to live productive lives. And especially as we go into this season, summer's over, and it's kind of just feels like it's time to get back to work. Lord, I pray that you'd help all of us to just want to be productive. We love you, Father. In your precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, well, let's take our song.